Donald in the Kitchen talks about food. Donald in the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on Community Radio. Welcome to the Donald in the Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week in this studio around our kitchen table right here in beautiful downtown Ames at the studios of KHOI Community Radio. And we are glad to be with you today. Good things happening. We'll be talking about good food today, and we get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donalana Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus.
Thank you for joining us today. Today we're going to be talking about corn and cucumbers and chocolate cake, and we may get around to some other things.
All the good summery things.
We may get around to a little bit about big numbers later in the show, but we'll see where this show takes us. It's summer. It is summer here in central Iowa. Boy, we've had some summer to talk about, as in hot, as in mosquitoes. It keeps us busy. Yes,
rain,
it does.
Rain.
The corn, you can hear it growing. The corn, one leaf is sticking up, and that means, and actually I saw it today, the tassels are starting, which means there's all kinds of propagation going to be happening any day now. So corn tassels are happening. Things are green. Things are humid. And I brought Donna a bug today. I found a dried out, I think it's a cicada or something, just the carapace, the outside.
Well,
I found it in my garden.
It has claws on it or something, maybe.
Well, I don't know. It's got those big reddish, brownish eyes, and those things are just so pretty. Whatever this little outside skeleton is, it's a good thing.
And a local bug.
A local bug.
The shell of a local
bug. The shell.
The exoskeleton, I believe.
There
is that
it
what
is.
It's called?
I'm sure that,
like that
is what it's called. And I want to report a thing that I took part in this morning. Got a frantic call from friends. Oh, the train's coming through. We know. The trains always come through Ames.
Oh,
this was a
that's
special,
what I heard it.
Yeah,
I heard
special,
it.
A special train, a steam train, the Union Pacific. Number 844, Living Legend, steam train, left Boone about 9 o'clock this morning. It was built in 1944. It was originally for high-speed passenger service. Quite an impressive, very big, very black thing. It was retired to a freight train in 1957. And in 1960, they were going to scrap it, but they saved it from the scrapyard. And it is on special service now. It is, for those who like trains, it was loud, it was big, it was fast and shiny. And it's kind of a special deal for the Union Pacific. That is the Living Legend Northern Number 844.
Yeah, and it does have a different... Yeah. I mean, I was sitting out in the backyard, and I hear this sound. Of course, it's a normal train sound, but it's not the one that we usually have. And I didn't know what it was.
Well,
I thought,
this is what it was. It's a steam train. And for those that like that,
steam
there were people
train.
With their cameras out. And
does
all
that mean it must have a steam whistle?
Yeah.
Huh.
It was something.
Very
it was
cool.
Big. And it was pulling a bunch of cars. The cars were not of this. I don't know. The cars. Cars were vintage. I don't know if they were from the same vintage, but they were historic sort of Union Pacific trains, and I heard they're making a turn north going through Nevada up into Wisconsin, Minnesota, and kind of finding their
really?
Way back.
Oh, really? Major tour,
oh,
huh?
It's a major tour.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So those that have like trains, and we do, it sort of connects us all. And there we were all sitting there at the Ontario Street and North Dakota Avenue train track. And there was a little station there at one time. And we could have all been waiting to get on, but we weren't. We were just waiting for it to go by. Good. I want to mention that garlic harvest happened in the heat and in the hot weather. And we had a little break. Just a beautiful day to pull garlic.
Yes, Lana and her husband Joe are known for their quality garlic.
It looks good this year, folks. It does. We had a good time pulling it up. And for some reason, Well, for lots of reasons. We did good cover crop. We did good mulch. Pulling it up was actually a joy this year. Sometimes
right,
it can be quite a
problem. I guess the rain keeps the soil loose, right?
It was really good, and so we pulled it.
And after you pull it up, it has to hang to dry,
yeah.
right?
Well, you can use it right away. But we pull it up, we sort it, we bundle it, we toss it into a barn and hang it. We hang it dark and dry in this wonderful barn loft. And if you hang it and let it cure in the dark
for how long?
At least a month. And it should last way past Christmas. But like I said, you can use it now if you want. The garlic looks good.
Well, and it looks beautiful hanging up. There is a lovely photo, Lana. I could suggest that maybe you would post it on the Donna Lana website.
We should.
It's a great photo of the hanging garlic in the barn.
Oh, it's
real picturesque there, boy. I got to tell you. It's beautiful.
Looks
just beautiful.
Yeah, it does. So, garlic. Yes, garlic. So, Donna, you have a few things that you found that you wanted to share with us. What have you found for us, Donna?
Okay, listen up, folks. We have some definitive science here. This was released by the Alzheimer's Association International at their conference in Los Angeles. Studies from the scientists at the University of Exeter. So this is a real genuine thing. So, drinking at least one artificially sweetened beverage daily was associated with almost three times the risk of developing stroke or dementia.
That's artificial, not sugar in general.
Like we're talking about diet sodas, any of those kinds. This is artificial sweeteners. Once again, we're here to remind you that maybe that's not a good idea. I would assume that also covers, like, you know, people putting those artificial sweeteners in their coffee. I'm not sure. But the direct quote was, I'm going to say it again so that you guys remember this, drinking at least one artificially sweetened beverage daily was associated with almost three times the risk of developing stroke or dementia. Okay.
There you go. Oh, well, we encourage hydration during the summer.
Absolutely.
Drink lots
Nothing
of things.
Wrong with water. And since we're going to talk about it, cucumbers.
Oh, very good.
Put some cucumber slices in your water.
Very good.
You know, or eat cucumbers. They're like 95% water.
Or watermelon.
Watermelon. Yes, yes. Just stay away from the diet sweetened, artificially sweetened sodas.
Good. And then there's some things. You ran across the things about farmers markets that people should know.
Well, Lana, you're the queen of farmers markets.
Well, this was kind of a nice article. It kind of went through things. And I've been kind of eating out of my garden for a long time, so none of this stuff is new to me. But for some folks, coming up to a stand and finding a farmer there and finding, like, food in the raw in front of that farm, it might take a few people aback. They have to get used to seeing things not wrapped in plastic.
Well, the obvious reason to go to the farmer's market is, first of all, the stuff is really fresh, okay, really seasonal, and you're keeping money in the local community. So whoever shows up to sell something at the farmer's market is bound to be your neighbor. So if you buy from them, then their dollars stay in our local economy as opposed to shopping at some of the very some of our supermarkets are fairly local, like the Hy-Vee chain, which is regional and mostly in Iowa. And, of course, Wheatsfield. But a lot of the other places that one could shop in town are definitely not local. So, you know, that's a lovely thing. You get to meet your neighbors, you get to hang out, and you are reminded of what really is in season. But the other thing that happens at farmers market is because of the way food is grown and travels from large distances in this country, a lot of it has to be harvested before it's ripe or completely ripe because it ripens on the way. Or there are lots of fruits and vegetables that just don't travel well. Or varieties, the old-fashioned, like obviously strawberries, okay? Mm-hmm. For example, so we had our very short this year because it was too wet, strawberry season. However, a strawberry that's grown in Iowa and picked when it's ripe is very different from the ubiquitous brand that comes from California that, although they look nice, they often don't have very much flavor, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and the texture can often be a little bit woody. Mm-hmm. So if you're eating strawberries in season, and the same thing goes for tomatoes, because tomatoes are coming up, right, Lana?
Tomatoes are coming up, I promise.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Right now at the farmer's market, we're having tomatoes that are grown in hoop houses around the area, like Lee's Greens has them, and golly, they're not as good as fresh on the vine, which we will be getting soon. But right now, they sure taste better than the kind of cardboard ones that you see at the supermarket. The other thing that you can get, for example, you never see a white eggplant in the grocery store. You know why?
Huh.
Because eggplants bruise very easily. So the black ones that you see all the time, you don't see the bruises. But if you travel a white eggplant, you know, halfway across the country in some kind of refrigerated freight condition, they aren't going to look very nice in the supermarket. So you can't really buy white eggplants in the supermarket. Now, why would you buy a white eggplant? Well, there are some varieties like the, what's it called, Rosa Bianco. They're not only beautiful, but they have slightly different flavors and different fleshy characteristics. And there are just things that one can buy in the farmer's market that don't taste the same anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, and there was a little note about eggs. Some people sell eggs at farmer's market. Now, I get this complaint. I sell a few eggs. I have a small chicken flock. People get this complaint, especially around Easter. Oh, your eggs are so hard to peel. Now, why is that, Donna?
Well, fresh eggs are hard to peel, so I guess you should go to the supermarket for your Easter bunny eggs and buy the old ones. But here's what happens. As the egg sits, the shell becomes more porous. It lets out more oxygen and more carbon dioxide out. And this raises the acidity of the egg white, making it come off the shell more easily. The egg also shrinks as it dries out, creating an air gap between it and the shell. So the tip for boiling hard-boiled eggs that are fresh, you have two options. You can, after you've boiled them, you can put them in a bowl of ice water for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
Or you can add baking soda to your water before you boil them.
I should try that.
Two options, because
that would be good.
With Lana, we have often really fresh eggs.
Yeah.
The other thing,
for your deviled eggs for your picnic.
Right, because it's boiled egg season here, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, now we won't have these in our farmers markets, but we will be seeing them around town because the Missouri peaches are coming in.
Oh, yes. Now, talk about hit and miss. Now, peaches look, they have got them trained to look really good on the shelf, but I got some peaches. I will not mention where I got them from, but they were not good on the inside at all. They must have traveled a long way.
Still, were they mealy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's early, but okay. I'll buy one or two peaches and take them home and see if they're any good.
Yeah.
And then if they're good, but we're not there yet. I have not had any good ones yet, but the early peaches, this is the other thing you have to remember is the early peaches are always, they're called clingstone or cling. That means they don't just flop right off they're harder to peel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, when you're peeling them and pitting them, the peach actually sticks to the inner peach pit. And then the later peaches are called, what are they called?
Cling free.
Freestone.
Oh, freestone.
Freestone. There we go. Right.
Ding, ding,
so
ding.
We'll be getting into that pretty soon. I have not hit, we've got California peaches in the market. I've seen some South Carolina ones. Last year we had basically no Missouri peaches.
Ah, peach alert. I want to report from the Donna Lana Kitchen Peach Department. I ran across some really dandy Missouri peaches and then got them by the box, by the lug, stacked up at Slim's Market in just outside of Story City, Iowa.
Oh, the place on Highway 69.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've got good Missouri peaches?
They have got good Missouri peaches, and I bought some, and I bought bit into one, and they're, like, really good. So,
well, yeah. I read on the Farm to Folk website, and I'm picking up some today, that Lee's from Lee's Green has actually made a trip down to Missouri and brought some back, too. So I'm assuming that Lee knows his peaches, and those are going to be good, too. So we have peach season to look forward to.
I like peaches.
And there may be a few. I planted a peach tree in my backyard about 5 years ago. So sooner or later, I may have a peach or two.
Some of them work here. And if you are blessed with a peach tree, I'm trying for peaches, too, the first year. They're pretty small, but I'm talking to them every now and then.
Well, one can always dream of peaches.
Local food.
So,
Very good. Well, the little notes about things to look for at farmers market.
Yeah, and in case you don't know and you need a reminder, Saturday mornings in downtown Ames, there is a farmers market on Main Street. There's also a small gathering of farmers out at the North Grand Mall on Saturday as well.
Saturday and Wednesday afternoon.
That's right. That's right. Uh-huh. So you got a couple of options.
And check other small towns around here. There are nice people off the back of their pickup, and they have good food this time of year.
Yep, the Grimes Corn is out with their trailer on the corner of 13th and Grand. There's probably some other places around town.
It's time.
Yep.
There's one reason we live in Iowa, and I think the sweet corn is one of them.
Oh. Now, just FYI, there is now genetically modified edible sweet corn. Uh-huh. It's not all just field corn. So if you want the traditional varieties, you might be sure to ask who you buy from, what variety they have planted this year.
Very good. Very good. So segueing from sweet corn to, I made a good chocolate cake this last weekend.
I'm here to testify.
It's called a chocolate cloud cake from Richard Sachs. I got this book for Christmas called Genius Desserts, 100 Recipes That Will Change the Way You Bake. And, it has.
Yeah, we've raved about this book before. It's pretty good.
It's really good. And I found this. Now, this chocolate cloud cake is mainly a chocolate souffle kind of cake. And I picked
Does that make it a flourless cake? Is there flour in it?
No, there's no flour.
It's a flourless chocolate cake.
These recipes tend to be really, really simple on the ingredient side, but have a whole lot of good technique advice in it.
Well, and this idea of it's basically a chocolate-flavored fallen souffle. And do not be intimidated. They're actually fairly easy to make in terms of a cake, don't you think so?
A springform pan is handy.
Yes.
But once you get that, you can conquer the world there.
Okay. I used to use a fat-free recipe for some of my Hollywood clients because it's basically egg whites, and I would serve them I would make little ones in ramekins, so you just pull them out, and then you have individual portions, and you don't have to unmold them or anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is good.
It's really
chocolate
easy.
Chocolate cloud cake, 8 ounces of really good bittersweet chocolate, half cup of unsalted butter. You melt that. Put that on to melt. 6 large eggs, 1 cup sugar, 2 tablespoons cognac or Grand Marnier. I did happen to have some Grand Marnier. Finely grated zest of 1 orange. That's it. Now you have to read the recipe carefully, because as you're melting the chocolate and getting your springform can ready, the eggs
you want
eggs like to be fluffy. So in 2 small bowls, separate 4 of the eggs. In the large bowl, whisk 2 whole eggs and the 4 egg yolks with half a cup of sugar until combined. Now with the 4 egg yolks, you beat and beat and beat until you have white, fluffy egg white clouds.
The whites.
So you have egg whites
fluffy. And then you fold them in, right?
You let the stuff that you've been melting cool off a little bit.
Absolutely.
So you do not want to excite the eggs at all. So you put that all, put it in, fold it in.
All right, so folding, I love that term. You know, it's a spatula, so actually you've got your heavier mixture in the bowl already. You put the whites right on top of that, and then you, in big circular motions, scraping the sides of the bowl, you just kind of envelop the ingredients together.
And all the time, subtly. You're doing this, you say, Air. Keep the air in there.
It's not as complicated as it sounds. It's sort of like in the process of cooking, it's a moment when you kind of slow down and do it rather thoughtfully.
It's a sensual sort of thing.
Yes, it is. Folding. Yes. Folding in the egg whites.
Yeah. Chocolate cloud cake. And after this is all mushed together so you don't see any streaks anymore.
No mushing, Lana. Folding.
Scrape the batter into a pan, a springform pan.
Yeah, but it's already buttered or something.
Yeah. And then you cook it for 35 to 40 minutes. I thought that was good for a hot day because you wouldn't have to have the oven on for hours or anything. So 35 to 40 minutes on a rimmed baking sheet, this springform pan. And then you take it out. Be careful not to overbake the cake. Take the cake out on and put it on a rack. And this is it. The center will sink as it cools.
Right. You want the souffle to fall.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay, because that little fallen down center is the place that you're going to put some whipped cream later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, plus, it gives the cake, as it cools, it's sort of molten quality. You know, it's like thick, rich. It's very moist.
Yeah, very moist. For it, because it's butter, it's chocolate and eggs and sugar, and that's it. So it is puddingy in the middle, although the time, I took it out at like 37 minutes just to kind of split the time there. It was perfect. First time I've made this. Run the tip of a knife around the edge of the cake and carefully remove the sides of the pan. I just left it on the bottom. I suppose you could like slide it off the bottom of the springform pan, but I didn't want to press my luck there.
Yeah, you could, and especially if you had lined the springform pan with any kind of like baking parchment paper or something like that. But and I got to say, this is a good recipe. It was delicious. I had a piece.
Yep. And then you can store any leftovers, if there are any.
No, there were there were no leftovers.
No, there was some for breakfast tomorrow. There was one little honker piece. You can, anyway, this is a note from the recipe. It says, store any leftovers airtight in the refrigerator. They won't be very presentable, but they'll make a delicious snack. And yeah, they do. Yeah, because it's kind of crumbly and it's mushy. And boy, is it ever good. That's chocolate cloud cake from the recipe book called Genius Desserts, 100 Recipes That Will Change the Way You Bake. And it's from the kitchen of Richard Sachs.
And we might be able to find it on the internet. I have the book at home. There's also a fat-free version in a book by Alice Medrich.
Ah. Look for those flourless and souffle-ish sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Chocolate cake. Appropriate anytime, I think. We'll take a little break here. This is KHOY. And this is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was some nice foot-tapping music from flute player, woodwinds player David Cantini. He does some fine work, and that tune was called Magic Foot. Yes, it was. So, today we're talking corn, cucumbers, chocolate cake, stuff to find at farmer's market. We've got lots more to say about cucumbers and corn, though, Donna.
Well, first of all, I want to remind everybody that corn, you know, the first corn that comes in is, in my mind, always the best. Maybe
that's
it's just
we've been waiting all year.
Yeah, I guess so. But so my first ears of corn, and I had two for breakfast, I don't put anything on them. I just steam them lightly. I don't boil the heck out of them. I just steam them lightly. But then after that, of course, there's the salt and pepper. Butter and salt, and some people put separate pepper. But I just want to remind that there's a lot of other toppings you can put on corn. Like the classic Mexican one, and corn is called elotes, is actually you slather it with mayo.
Oh,
and then you add a little lime juice, some ancho pepper, salt, pepper, cilantro. Now, then they used their cotija cheese, which is their crumbly, which you can buy in some of the, it's available around here. Or you can put crumble a little feta or ricotta on it.
Oh, feta, that sounds good. Yeah. I don't know about mayonnaise. It sounds awfully greasy.
Well, it's instead of butter.
Butter, okay.
Yeah, right. It's no greasier than butter. Right. In fact, even a simple version is something I like to do is mayonnaise instead of butter, and then ancho chili and a little lime juice, and salt, of course. Yeah. And then there are lots of other. I read one that was like vegan, so it was coconut oil. I've forgotten. I think coconut oil, lime, and then they actually used some toasted coconut flakes, kind of broken up and sprinkled on it too, with salt, of course. But you know, it's that same theme of some kind of oily, greasy stuff that, you know, makes everything stick to it. And then, of course, something salty. And then something a little acid makes it perk right up. But let's get creative with our corn here.
That's good. Yes. Sweet corn, I don't think there's anything better. I can eat it and eat it and eat it all this season. And just like strawberries or watermelon, you kind of eat your fill and then you wait till next year. However, do remember, you can, when you get just up to your eyeballs in corn, put some in the freezer. I steam the ears and scrape the corn off of the steamed ears. You can let it cool off first.
What's your kernel producing technique? What do you use?
I just use a good sharp knife.
Yeah, I do too. I stand it in a bowl because they kind of fly all over and just turn it around and keep going.
Yeah. You can cook a whole bunch at a time or steam a whole bunch at a time and then let it cool off, run it under cold water and let it just drip there.
Do you take it off after you steam it or before?
Yeah, after.
I tend to do it before.
I don't think it matters.
Well, the only difference is once it's cooked, the little kernels kind of stay more together. Which, depending on what you're doing for it, I also like to just take it off the cob really quickly while it's fresh and juicy. And then, boy, it cooks. Don't overcook it. And that's always true with your corn. There is no need to overcook that corn. It is sweet and just, it's kind of like green peas. You know, you just barely hit the heat with it.
Very good. Very good. Sweet corn.
Coming. Yeah.
And
cucumbers.
You look like you've got a whole bunch of cucumber recipes over there. And I love cucumbers. And I just eat them as cucumbers, but you can do a lot more with them.
Well, you're a pickler.
I mean,
there are different kinds of cucumbers, too. Some that are, you know, really for pickling, mm-hmm. right?
Right. There's some that are actually called a pickling cucumber. They tend to be a little, well, smaller, and they're a little more dense. They don't fall apart when you put them they don't sog up quite as much.
Do you think they have generally a little tougher skins?
Yeah, I think so. The littler ones, there's the gherkins.
Teeny weeny ones.
All different sizes. My two favorite ones that I've been growing and pickling for years are called Early Fortune, which I'm getting. That's something you can get through Seed Savers Exchange. And then there's another variety that I can't remember where I get it from, but it's called Parisian Pickling. And these
Is that like the gherkin, the really small guy?
It's smaller than the Early Fortune. But there's a lot of these more, think dill pickle-ish sort of thing. But I've got the Seed Savers catalog here, and there's lots of different kinds.
Well, there's some weird ones, too, unusual. like this one. What's it called? The Mexican sour gherkin?
Yeah.
Which looks like a teeny-weeny watermelon, kind of. Yeah. Have you ever grown those?
No. It says ideal for pickling. So, yeah, they're supposed to be really small. Yeah. And there's white ones. And if you want to get really adventuresome, there are the long, either Asian or Middle Eastern kind of cucumbers, which are also lovely.
Those are the ones you would use in salads more?
Right. I would. If you're doing cut-up pickles, I wouldn't mind using those either. They tend not to be soft like the bigger cucumbers sometimes that you can get.
Now, do you think that
softer?
The conventional ones that you buy in the supermarket, they have a waxy skin. Is that because they are waxed?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Some of them are.
Right, so those you're going to have to peel.
I don't do that. But it does, again, they
makes
have had
them
a,
travel.
They have
yeah.
had a long life. Mm-hmm, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. So cucumbers.
So if you're buying them at the farmer's market, you know, and especially if you can ask the farmer, perhaps they're not sprayed with pesticides. You can and should eat the peel.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
That's part of the taste. That's part of the taste.
There's a nice trick I used to always like for just your classic, you know, kind of roundish, fat little cucumber. You run the tines of the fork down it so that when you slice it, it looks like it has little stripes on it or something.
Oh, little flower.
Little roughly flower. Oh. Edges. And that's a really easy trick. And they used to say, I don't know if this is true, but you do that because apparently it releases some of the bitterness in the skin of that type of cucumber.
Oh,
don't know if that's an old wives' tale, but that's something I grew up with.
It sounds like magic, and I'm always up for magic.
Well,
so let's
it just
do
looks
that.
Pretty. But so for cucumbers, you know, obviously we're going to think of a million kinds of salads. And I would encourage all of us to eat more salads, especially this time of year. But there are other things besides pickles and salads. Cucumbers make a lot of good beverages, for example, or soups. They can be used a lot in gazpachos, even making a kind of a white gazpacho.
Oh,
would be, oh boy, what would I? I did read a recipe where you used, it was yellow gazpacho because it was using yellow peppers, which are not quite in yet, cucumbers, and probably a yellow tomato or two.
Oh.
So gazpacho, which is a cold soup, is a good way. Beverages, lots and lots of beverage possibilities, like a gin and cucumber tonic cocktail, for example.
That does seem to be the thing. They're putting all kinds of things in mixed drinks now.
Yes.
And cucumber shows up every now and then.
And they talked all kinds of, like, here's a recipe for a savory peach and cucumber salad.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It says, this is the future of fruit salad with avocados, herbs, a little spice, and peak season peaches, which we're coming right into. Another thing that I was interested in is, here's a chill out honeydew cucumber slushy, which, you know, that's all just throw it all in the blender. But the melons are coming in at the same time as the cucumbers. Mm-hmm. So this would be a very light lunch or breakfast beverage.
Is there dairy in there?
Let's see what they say.
Or
is
there ice in there?
One.
Or it's green. It looks lovely.
Yeah. This is with coconut water. What a great idea. Four cups of honeydew, 2.5 cups of coconut water, 1/3 cup of mint leaves, 2 tablespoons of fresh lime juice, and 6 ounces of cucumber peeled. and kosher salt, and you just throw that all into the blender. That actually sounds yummy.
Yeah.
I might have to do that myself.
I like that. That sounds
good. Yeah. And then the other thing, where was that recipe? It was a granita. Now, we talked about granitas a few weeks ago. Basically, this is a savory granita, which they said, oh, serve it on oysters or something. But, you know, I would use it like, okay, there's the concept of the palate cleanser, which is where if you're having a multi-course meal or a longer, heavier meal, mm-hmm. you kind of stop in the middle, especially in this heat, and you refresh your palate mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. with something that's a little more, you know, changes up your taste buds. Basically, it's to clear out the flavor and sensations on your tongue.
Well, right, so, especially if you have kind of a spicy thing to start out with,
yeah,
or a hot thing.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
So remember, granita is something where you kind of make a slushy. You put it in a usually a metal pan because it cools faster in the freezer. And then every 15 or so minutes, you stir it up. So you end up with it's kind of like a snow cone, but it's a little more frozen. And you just serve it in a little bowl or something. So this one is peeled seeded cucumbers, lime juice, and then they put in matcha green tea powder and a little bit of salt.
Oh.
So that all kind of goes into the slushy mixture. You put it in the freezer.
There's no other liquid in there.
No, because
the cucumber
is very, well, lime juice.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But not much. 4 cups of cucumber to 1 tablespoon of lime juice, and then a half teaspoon of the green tea powder. And then in the blender, and then into the pan in the freezer, and then you keep stirring it till it firms up a little bit. You still want it like, you don't want it in a frozen block of ice. You want it kind of crystallized. And that is a nice thing to serve in the middle of the meal, at the beginning of the meal, or even but it's savory. It's not sweet.
Huh.
It is not a dessert. It is a palate cleanser.
That sounds like a very nice thing.
Yeah.
Good use of cucumbers.
The other thing I want to try, and hopefully if it's successful, I'll let you know, cucumbers are very good for making kimchi.
Oh.
Right. So having a pickled, you know what, if I'm successful, we will talk about the recipe. It takes about 7 days of fermentation.
If you're successful, I'll hear this yell from downtown,
yeah,
from your
you
neighborhood
will.
And your downtown names. There will be this, yes, it worked.
Yes, because I have a big new five liter kimchi pot or something. It's a little bit daunting. But I'm going to launch into it sooner or later. But the cucumber one seemed like that might be the place where I'm going to start. So cucumbers, for all reasons, go for it.
Good. I don't grow a lot of cucumbers, but I always like some because I like to pickle and I like to eat them. And I found that, they usually vine all over the place. But I put up a couple of cattle panels, heavy, heavy gridded things that I suppose we don't have.
They're metal, yeah.
And put it, let it grow on a trellis. I don't have to bend over so much. And cucumbers are of that family, beans and they put these wonderful tendrils up, and they go out there and you can watch them. They're grabbing for things. And what a magic thing to watch in your garden.
Especially if you've got a system for them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll just grab onto the plant that's next to them, and then you'll have a rather tangled mess. Well, like peas would do that, too. I just always am amazed these little tendrils go up. I've got some scarlet runner beans going just at decoration by
the
house.
It's called just training them to the trellis,
yeah,
right?
Training them to the trellis. And those little things, and I think I read someplace that they always go clockwise.
Oh, really?
Maybe
there's probably a pattern to this part of nature. You know,
maybe it's like the water down the drain in the northern hemisphere versus this. I don't know if anybody knows. I might just lay awake at night and think about that for a while.
You could just stand there and watch them for hours, right?
I could. Anyway, Three cheers for those cucumbers. I know some people probably have them for sale already. Mine are still, well, they're blossoming. They're still climbing, and I'm cheering them on every day. So cucumbers, corn, kimchi, granita, beverages, salads,
peaches.
Pickles. With peaches, what a good idea.
And we don't have the local melons yet, but they're coming. They're coming.
Oh, melons. Oh.
Yep, yep.
Don't you just love summer? This is KHOI. This is Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa. And this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more about the Donna Lana Kitchen at www.khoifm.org. You can find out more about us there. We have our very own little thing that you can poke there, and you'll find out past shows. There's archives. We've been at this for 5-6 years. We got a lot of archives. You can't get enough of us. There's recipes there. And you can also check out all the other fine programming, much of it local and all just as tasty, here on KHOI Radio. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You know, in the kitchen, we have to measure things. Those recipes, they call for, well, in some cases, measurements of things.
Especially when you're baking.
Especially when you're baking.
Because that's chemistry.
My souffle cake would have not turned out if I hadn't taken mind of how much and measure things. And so we have to be familiar with quantities. And we also, as we cook around our kitchen table, how much to spend, how much for supper, save, plan for tomorrow. Let's get our mind around some big numbers. Probably the biggest number that we hear bantered about all the time is the concept of trillion. Trillion.
Oh, yeah. We're getting, as the older I get, the more they say trillions.
Oh, that
out of control here.
Has to do with the national debt. And nobody quite knows. It seems like a lot. It seems like a lot more that's in my bank account.
Well, yeah. It used to just be like stars in the sky.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Many. Oh, trillion. Okay. And they've got, you know, they've got the national debt clock, and you can look it up. And currently, I looked it up, it's close to $23 trillion. Dollars, but it goes by so fast they're just ticking. It's sort of $23 trillion now. That was of, I looked it up yesterday, and that is about $70,000 debt per citizen.
Whoa!
So you know, kind,
boy,
oh, yeah.
If I had a $70,000 debt, I'd be in trouble, wouldn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, I know. Woo! And oh, trillion this and trillion that, and it's hard to. Hard to kind of get that your mind around it. I've been reading a book called, and this is an old book. It's been around for a while. It's called I'm a Stranger Here Myself, Notes on Returning to America After 20 Years Away by Bill Bryson. Bill Bryson.
A fine Iowa fellow.
Yeah, a nice curmudgeon. He grew up in Des Moines and went off and did a lot of things. He wrote the book A Walk in the Woods, which was turned into a movie. But this is a little collection of his curmudgeonly look at things. And he was looking at the national debt. And this was written quite a while ago. So his trillion is not as big as trillions now. But he said, how do you get your mind around this, okay?
You don't.
But here, he gives us in two little paragraphs here, gives us some advice. Well, this is what Bill Bryson says. Let's just try to grasp the concept of $1 trillion. Imagine that you're in a vault filled with dollar bills and that you were told you could keep each one you initialed. Say, too, for the sake of argument, that you could initial $1 bill per second and that you work straight through without ever stopping. How long do you think it would take to count a trillion? Go on. Humor me. Take a guess. 12 weeks? 2 years? 5? If you initialed $1 per second, you would make $1,000 every 17 minutes. After 12 days of nonstop effort, you would acquire your first $1 million. Thus, it would take you 120 days to accumulate $10 million and 1,200 days, something over 3 years, to reach $100 million. And after 31.7 years, you would become a billionaire. Billionaire.
And this is nonstop, right?
Nonstop.
No bathroom breaks.
And after almost 1,000 years, you'd be maybe as wealthy as Bill Gates. But not until after 31,709.8 years would you count your 1 trillionth dollar.
Oh, and, gazillions of trillions. Yeah, oh, my, my.
And that's not, that's just kind of a little bite of our current debt. Anyway, just to kind of give you something to keep you up at night there, that's what 1 trillion is.
Oh, yeah. Our mere mortal minds. I guess when they throw those figures around, it's, you know, it's obviously incomprehensible, really.
It is.
Leave it to the computers, right?
Well, and the thing is, we seem to be going on. Okay, remember that money is a mind construct. It's not a real thing. It's what we agree money is. So
right. We don't even probably have a place to stack up that many $1 bills.
I don't think
bills.
So either.
You know,
I mean,
that would take a lot of space.
Anyway, so a little mind game there. A bit of advice from Bill Bryson and from his book "I'm a Stranger Here Myself." There he is. So, we've got some upcomings. We got some upcoming events, and they don't have anything to do with trillion. I don't think
there's only a few, and it's very comprehensible.
Yeah.
It's just what's going on this week locally. We can manage that.
I must report, some silly folks are still setting off their firecrackers that they have left over from 4th of July. And, okay, granted, it rained for the 4th of July, so it was a little soggy. But come now. I'm surprised in the evening every now and then. So,
I have one of those dogs that doesn't like firecrackers. She's every evening, you know, I'll think, oh, maybe it's over now. And boom.
There's always one.
And she just jumps on top of me.
Oh, poor thing.
I know.
Poor thing.
Oh, well, let the kids have their fun. They will run out of firecrackers sooner or later, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Speaking of money, and trillions, they're not exactly cheap.
So
talk about blowing things up.
That'll be a limiting factor, right?
Ha! Good. Well, here's some things that are happening. You don't want to miss out on this. We like to keep up on what's going on with Practical Farmers of Iowa. They have field days. You can go and find out what's going on.
You can visit a farm. It's always, always interesting. We still have farms left around here. Thank goodness. This is Iowa.
July 17th, which is tomorrow, this week. There are three things going on, and you can probably make all of them if you hurry. At the Grundy County Fairgrounds in Grundy Center, Iowa, there is a soil health and water quality workshop. Huh? You can go there. And here's a nice one. Here's a nice one. Wednesday, July 17th, 10 a.m. to noon, in Sutherland, Iowa, at the farm of Paul and Karen Mudge, there is a prairie and beneficial insect habitation and organic crop farm tour.
I bet that'll be a beauty.
In partnership with the Xerxes Society, those folks that keep track
of the bees.
And
did we mention that they're not doing a bee count this year?
Are we saving money? Are we saving trillions of dollars? Anyway, we're not doing a B count.
Yeah, the federal government has decided they cannot afford to do a B count this year.
I'm getting very, very cynical here.
I think they just don't want us to know how bad the bee loss situation is. They just don't want to talk about it. If you don't know, it's not happening. Well, how about that?
Well, the Xerxes Society will keep track for
somebody
us
else
anyway.
Will have to count them, but it's not going to be the federal government anymore.
Also, on the same day at Practical Farmers of Iowa event, organic row crop production and mechanical weed control at the same farm. So there you go. And this Friday, commercial hair sheep production on pasture. This is Bart Verlin at the Apple Creek Farm in Blakesburg, Iowa. Sheepdogs, and sheep for meat. I like that.
Yeah, these might be fun things for kids, too.
Yeah. And here's something I want to remember. This is a little farther out. July 23rd, Ragbri. The Register's annual great bike ride across Iowa.
It's coming.
In Cummings, Iowa, PFI will have a booth there, a presence, giving out and selling food and vegetables and
local
water
food.
Refill, fresh fruit and local vegetables.
Cherry tomatoes, I believe.
At Cummings, Iowa, Ragbri at Howell's Greenhouse and Pumpkin Patch. You can take your bike to the side of the road and find good things there. You can find out more at Practical Farmers of Iowa at practicalfarmers.org.
I also want to mention that this Thursday evening at Cook's Emporium, I, Chef Donna, will be teaching a Cooking with Fresh Herbs class. So go to their website, the Cook's Emporium, and check out the class, and maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah. They've got a dandy new kitchen space.
Oh,
there.
Boy, don't they?
Worth checking out.
We will be having a good time cooking with fresh herbs.
Good.
Also tonight.
Oh,
we're in for a treat at the band shell.
Yes, a local group named Witch Tit. Now that's Tit, T-I-I-T, Witch Tit, huh? Like Tufted Titmouse, there you go. Okay, there you go. Witch Tit, T-I-I-T, is having an acoustic show. They do great music at the band shell.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of local gals we're really looking for. I'll be there.
7:30?
I think so. Well, I think so at the band shell.
Anyway, show up. It'd be a good way to spend a summer evening. And do take your mosquito repellent.
Oh, yes. By all means.
Oh, boy. There it is. Oh, and there's a few classes coming up at the local food co-op. That's Wheatsfield on the end of Main Street in downtown Ames. A fresh pasta class on the 22nd of this month. And our friends, the Salt Liquor Company, the Salt Liquor people that make flavored salts, they will do a do-your-own spice blend with the salt liquors. They're kind of a real nice addition to our community here. So lots of things going on. Huh?
Busy summer.
Ah, yes, summer. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. You can find us Tuesdays at noon, repeated Tuesdays at 7 p.m., or anytime. Stream, download, go to khoifm.org and share us with folks. Yes, you can. And if we are in your ears right now, consider putting us in your hearts. Become a member of this fine station. You can talk to us, too, at khoiradio@gmail.com if we've steered you a little wrong on a recipe or if you have something to add. You can go to khoiradio@gmail.com. And let us put Donalana Kitchen in the title there. Yes. Music today by David Cantini from his CD Red Rock. Support this fine radio station. This is local. This is a good thing for your ears. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had fine engineering today by Cynthia McClure. Eat good food and enjoy life.